Good evening. I think also Saturday after Hanukkah, I would still like to give over a Hanukkah message and the way to relate them down to our topic. The Gemara asks in Shabbos, "My Hanukkah, what is Hanukkah?" Now, obviously, the question isn't just what is Hanukkah. Hanukkah, we know what Hanukkah. Hanukkah was a big historical event. And at the time when the Gemara asked this question, it writes by my Hanukkah, this was already 400 years Hanukkah at least 400 years. It was in practice. So we all knew really what is Hanukkah. So what's the question? So Rashi says there, Al Ezenes Kavuhu. There was many miracles, many nisim, but which of the nisim was it established for the future generations that every generation re-experiences this Nes Chanukah continuous on an ongoing base? Because we know, I think we mentioned many other occasions when we speak about any other Yom Tov, but the Maral says that every Yom Tov which we are celebrating every year is not to commemorate an event which took place at certain some times ago. It's a reoccurrence of today. Pesach is a new Yitzias Mitzrayim of today. Yeshua is a new Kabbalah Satera. And when we celebrate Hanukkah, means there's a reoccurrence of the Nes Hanukkah. Right now, the Nes Hanukkah is reoccurring. Now, obviously, in which form? So Hanukkah, there was many, at the original Hanukkah, when it was the time that the rebellion took place, the revolution against Yovan, there was many events, as we say in the Aranisim, Misalte, Gvarim, Yat Choloshin, Rabbi, Yat Me'atim, Tmeim, Yat Tohoirim, many events took place. And those things not necessarily is reoccurring now. First of all, we have no Bes HaMikdash, we don't have in this area the Nisim. But what is reoccurring that we celebrate in Hanukkah? Is an Eskavu. So it's more answers that the Nes, that when the Yevonim went into the Hechel, and the Metome, all the Shmanim, they went after the oil, and the Metame, all the oil. And now they wanted to light the Menorah, which was a mitzvah to light them continuously, and they didn't find pure oil. And they found the can with the seal of the Kohen Gadol, which had enough to burn a day, and it burned a day, it gave them enough time to produce their own pure oil. And that Nes has been established, the Deira, is that till today we light 8 day Hanukkah candles to show this is the oil which we're lightening, this is the pure oil which comes from that original can. Obviously, how does this thing repeat itself today? How do we find them today? What is the message to us today? And I could only promise you, if you could take this message and try to understand them thoroughly and relate them to you, life could totally change. Totally change. What is the message of the burning of the oil, of the menorah, which they made such a big issue? There were so many other mitzvahs in the Beis HaMikdash, makriv karbonos, all kind of things, and the whole thing is revolved around balois hasaneiros, lighting the candle, and this was a gewaldige. And interestingly, that all the avoda which is in the Beis HaMikdash, which you learn in the Chumash, of Ahar Nakoy and the Kahanim, but never it's being told, as by the mitzvah of lightening the candle, Yaf Kena Haran Sot Yaran Haran Don Melamed Shalei Shina. He didn't deviate it from the intention what he had to do. He did exactly. The big praise of Aaron. Why exactly that should be such a big issue, lightening the menorah every night? Why is that such a big thing? Eveno Chazal tell us, Rashi brings it down that the Nesiim all bring special karbonos, and Ahar Nakoyen was left out. He left it to the last, and he didn't have any special what to do. So Hashem says, you get something greater than they. You're going to light the candles, Shilchol Adoyr, it's going to stay forever. Now, is it really forever? How do we light the candles today? We don't have the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash today. But the Ramban says, that's the Hanukkah. We have it forever. In other words, what the Ahar Nakoyen introduced, lightening the candle Beis HaMikdash, stands forever. And every one of us, when we light the candle on Hanukkah, we are continuing to do what the Ahar Nakoyen originally had done. It sounds very mystical, and it is mystical, but it's simple too. That's our job, is to bring down this message, this mystical message, into simple words in today's life, in order to appreciate our role. We said it many times in the past, we spoke about it many times. If we want to ask ourselves, what is the ultimate tachlis of the Am Yisrael, of the Jewish nation? And of course, in the question is incorporated individually us, every one of us. And you want to ask yourself, what does Hashem want from me? Bottom line, what do I have, bottom line, to produce? And as usually I phrase it, when you go down to 13th Avenue, you see many shops. You see a bakery, you see a jewelry store, in a clothing shop, all kind of printing shop, all kind of shops. And every shop is a different way, different style, different sales, different product. But one thing is there which all unites them. They all have the same word, the same interest. What is it? They're all here to make money. And whichever shop you go into the bakery, why is selling cake? Says, I want to make money. And you go to the next shop, why is selling jewelry? I want to make money. And everyone is really doing one thing. Everyone is just making money. However, to produce the money, everyone is running a different shop. We, as the chosen nation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, every one of us has a different shop. There's no two people duplicating each other. Everyone is a very unique shop. If this is family-wise, if this is single-wise, none of us are the same. There's no twins in production in all situations. And you could write a whole book about every individual, about his absolute uniqueness, his individuality, that not one person is duplicating the other person. Not one family is duplicating the other family. Not one work is duplicating the other. Not one characteristics. In other words, as many individuals we are, as many families we are, so many shops Hashem has. What is there what we produce in common? What we are all here to produce in common. There's one thing which you all produce, like the equivalence of the business, we say money, they're all here to make money. What are we all here? We are all here to be Mekadosh Hashem, to bring back Hashem into this world. The world is empty, the world is dark, the world is denying the presence of Hashem. Therefore it's called the world is a chilul Hashem, chalal, there's a void of Hashem. The world is tohu, v'vohu, v'choyshech at nisam. The world is tohu, is devastated, vohu, empty, choyshech and dark. And Hashem sent us that we should give meaning to the world, we should give light to the world, and we should fill the emptiness of the world. Milu etzoret, fill the world v'kipshua. And just for the reference reason, we know that right in that pasuk, the Medrash tells, Chazal tell us, this is the remez on the four malchus, the four kingdoms who are opposing Hashem, who are fighting Hashem, the four kingdoms. Toyu the Bovel, Voyu the Modai, Persia, Shveirosh, Choshech, darkness, the Yovan. The darkness. They make sure the world should stay dark, they don't let light into the world. And we have to fight Bovel, we have to fight Modai, which is the culture of Persia. Maybe if time allows, we will explain what does it mean. And we have to fight Yovan. If they darken the world, we have to lighten the world. And how do we light the world? The Shlomo Melech says, Neir Hashem, Nishma Sodom, the candle of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is the neshama of the person. In other words, the original world, before it was affected by those four malchis, before they had destroyed the world, it was a beautiful world. Bereshis, in the beginning, Bora, when Hashem came as a Shemaim and Esau. Shemaim and Oretz were the same. They were twins. Just like Shemaim is beautiful, and it's not affected by no person, and it's pure and it's beautiful, so was the original Oretz. However, after that, Oretz Hoysa, then the Oretz became Tohu. Through the philosophy of Bovel, became Tohu. To the philosophy of Modai, became Vohu. To the philosophy of Choshech, of Yovan, became Choshech. And Edom, which is America, which is the whole system together, is Tohoim. It's endless, bottomless void, emptiness, total emptiness, no philosophy. Today the Western culture does not preach any philosophy. All the previous days, previous ages, they used to fight Torah with a certain philosophy. Bava Mitzvah philosophy, Moda Mitzvah philosophy, Yoma Mitzvah philosophy. Today the secular world has no philosophy. Today they don't believe anymore even in evolution. Once to deny God, they have to come up with a theory to oppose God, which is evolution, Big Bang, whatever it is, stupidities. Today they don't even believe in evolution, they don't believe in anything. This everything is nonsense. Yoshke is nonsense, this is nonsense. So what is it? Nothing. This means time. This is what the Maral says. And it's worthwhile if you want to get a clearer picture about this explanation. It's in the book Deis HaKamik. I think I'm explaining it more in detail. So all the four concepts, which is fighting the Torah value. Now we are not busy with Hanukkah. Hanukkah is fighting the value of Yovan, with the philosophy of Yovan, which Yovan is dark, is Choshech, is darkness, and we have to light up. Now where did the light go? The original world was beautiful, and Hashem took out the light, the Or, from the world, and the world became Choshech, to give room for Yovan to dominate. Where did that light go? The light went into us, Ner Hashem Nishmas Sodom. We possess that light, and we're supposed to go and light up the world. And therefore Hashem sends his candles, and every one of us is the candle, and wherever Hashem sends us, there we have to light up. And therefore, none of us could be the same, because there's no need to go for the same spot and to light them all up. So every person has a different duty, and a different message, and every person has a different assignment, and that's what we have to do. By the way, Neshomo, Nishmas Odom, how do you spell Neshomo? Neshomo is Shemen and a Hey. She and Memnun and a Hey. That's Neshomo. That's Neshomo. Now what is the Shemen and what is a Hey? Hey, we know Chazal tell us, Ki Beko Hashem Tzur Olam. Because Baruch Hu created the two worlds, Shemaim and Oretz, with the letters of Yud and a Hey. The Yud and a Hey of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yud is Shemaim, the heavenly. Actually, that's Shemen. That's the actual Or, the light, the energy. The Chochmo, Shemen is Chochmo, wisdom. Everything has been created with Chochmah. That's the Shemen, that's Chochmah. But where is the Shemen? Where does the Shemen come from? Come from an olive. An olive is bitter. And that's the Hay. That's the Oret. And the Maral says the whole Chumriyas, the whole material world, the whole physical material world which we are in it, is an olive. And an olive is bitter. Therefore, when we look on our life, when we look on the circumstances that surrounds us, on the surface, the way you look at it with your visual, with your physical eyes, what do you see? All you think is a bitter olive. But there's no olive which doesn't have in himself shemen, oil. There's no olive. And the Gemara says, why the Jewish people are compared to a zayist and olive? Says the Gemara, ma zayze, just like this olive, eina noisene shamba, does not produce his oil, does not let out his extract of oil. Eilim ken kotshin oisoi, when they're being squashed and ground and stepped on, Kach Yisrael, so is the Amis, the Jewish people. Einoi noisin the Shaman, you don't produce your energy, you don't produce your light, you don't produce your Shaman, Eilim ken kotshin oisoi, you're being squashed. When a person is being squashed, by whom? By Hashem. Obviously, it's only because there's a certain Shaman which cannot be extracted, cannot be taken out, unless it's being squashed. And we have to trust Hashem that he doesn't squash. Even no balabust in the kitchen will squeeze a lemon if there's no juice anymore. Any sensible balabust knows to what extent to go to squeeze a lemon. If there's no juice, you don't squash this lemon anymore. If Hashem is stepping on us and is causing us, inflicting on us pain and difficulties of life, that means squashing that olive. And obviously, if there's kvetching, that olive means that we possess a certain shaman. And that shaman which we possess is the light which we're supposed to give back into the world. And only after we all produce our shaman, our oil, the Ne'er Hashem Nishmas Odom, and we lit them up, we put them up in light, only then the world gets relit, milus gets refilled, and that's Mashiach, Moloho Oret, when the world gets filled deo with knowledge as Hashem with God. Now, I think I said it many times, we're going to repeat it again once more. There's something which has to live with. What does it mean? Mashiach will come. What is Mashiach's message? That Moloho Oret, the world will be filled deo as Hashem with knowledge of God. That means light. Wherever you look, you see God. How will that be filled? When we tonight here, and every one of us, in our private life, when we fill our life with the knowledge of God, when we have a quetch, when we have a hurt, when we have a pain, and we talk to ourselves, well, who does it? Who did it? Hashem did it. If Hashem did it, it's a kvetch, but I know shemen comes out, oil comes out. And I'm accepting my life, the simcha of levav, that's light. That's a candle. Now that light which we produced, that light goes into the world, and that's Mother Earth, there's Hashem. And it's no question, the Mashiach will come, and we're going to see a beautiful lit up world, everyone exactly recognize how much of my light is there, and you will identify your light. And at that time, if we're going to identify our light, you're going to identify, I wish I would have had a little bit more oil. Which means it demands a much greater sacrifice, because without sacrifice, there is no oil. And it's not enough that you have the oil, but after you have to do it, you have to light up the oil. You could eat the oil, and you could light up the oil. And that's exactly what Yovan, Timu Kol Hashmanim. Yovan, maybe I have to give fairness in order to explain Yovan, I have to explain the other three Malchus. What is the philosophy of Bovel? What is the philosophy of Moda? And what is the philosophy of Yovan? The all three attack the function of the Jewish people in three different ways. And let me give it to you in a simple word, what Bovel represents. And Adam has all three of them. And let's call Adam is Manhattan. You see, in a few blocks away, all three of them have their, I would say, the capital, the palaces. Bovel's White House. Bovel's is being represented. Where is Bovel's headquarters? Okay. All three headquarters of the world philosophies of Bovel, Moda, Yovan, all in a few blocks away in Manhattan. The headquarter of Bovel is Madison Square Garden. The headquarter of Modai, Persia, is Times Square. And the headquarter of Yovan is the village, the Grevish village. Religions, meditations, philosophies, those are the headquarters. Now, what does Madison Square Garden represent? What does Bovel represent? By the way, why is there three opposing the function which we have to accomplish? Because our function is put together also from three major principles. What are the three major principles? It's Kutshivrichu, Oraisa, and Yisrael. This is Chad, this is all one. In other words, we should accomplish our job, we have to be fully together with Hashem, fully together with Torah, and fully together with us to know who we are, what we are. By the way, those three great principles has been taught to us by our three fathers. Therefore, we have three fathers, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Avraham introduced Hashem into the world, Yitzchak introduced Torah into the world, and Yaakov introduced Yisroel into the world. If you remember, he fought the whole night with Yovan when he wanted to remain alone. He was in Yaakov Levado. Why? He went to the Pach for that can oil, which we're soon going to explain, for the Shemel of Am Yisroel, the Neshom of Am Yisroel, and he got the name Yisroel. And those Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, they produced this three-pronged unit, which is Kutshu Bricho, Raisi, Yisroel. And Bovel went against Avraham, because Avraham came from Bovel. And Yitzchak was fought by Plishtim. Plishtim is Litzones, that's Times Square. And Yaakov was fought by Yovan. Yossi Yaakov Levado, Elocha Mishima, Kol Alay, that was Yovan. To contaminate, to be metamed that Pach, but Velo Yochel, he couldn't. In other words, Yaakov preserved that Pach, that can, and that can was given over to, and then the Malach told him, and then we got Yisroel. There's three philosophies. Bovel is opposing Hashem. Now, Hashem cannot be replaced. They don't even try to replace Hashem. To fight the existence of Hashem, you can't replace it with any other existence. You have to be a lunatic. You have to be crazy to try to, what can you produce? The only way you could fight Hashem is just denial of somebody else and living with denial, negativism, just negative, shlili. And that's sports. That's Madison Square Garden. What is Madison Square Garden? You see today, billions of people worship sports. And what is the worship? You take a big slob, a 400-pound guy that you're afraid to stay next to him. His odor is terrible, he smells, he can't find his name, he doesn't know 2 and 2 is 4. He happens to have real heavy muscles, he looks like a gorilla, and he knocks him out from the ring in the Madison Square Garden. If to do boxing or wrestling, that's the kind, makes millions of dollars, and he's being worshipped. He is gewaldig. He's absolute. He's unbelievable. Why? Because he could knock out somebody. How could you understand it? What is the meaning of that? Why should that be something? And the same thing is in any area or sport. It's baseball or basketball or what it shouldn't be. What are they doing? Not absolutely doing nothing. But what? Just because they win the others, they live on somebody else's defeat. And the whole pleasure of sports is defeating the others. If this is by football or this is by playing chess. Playing chess, I defeated you. Who gave a mat to who? Now, did you get anything that you defeated the other one? You didn't get anything from it. Did you get a better person? You became a better man because of it? Nothing. But that's skvaldik. I defeated. Now, what is it? That actually you made the religion out of negative, defeating some, knocking somebody else. And that's bovel. Bovel destroys the Beis HaMikdash, and he says there's no Hashem, there's no Beis HaMikdash, but you replace it with something? Nothing. That's bovel. Modai, we told this Times Square, wining and dining and pleasure, and let's call it the simple words, unfortunately, which was very effective, fun. Fun. We must live with fun. If there's no fun in life, there's no life. And what is that? That opposes Yitzchak, that opposes Torah. Torah teaches us that we came here, Kehem Chayenu, Torah is our life. Why is it our life? Because Eirechemen, this extends our life to the world to come. We're not producing the present life, we're now producing the world to come, the Olam Habo. In every moment when we live according to Torah, we're accomplishing something. So what is fun? Fun is to production. Fun is not to have the immediate. When you stay in business and it's a good season, you don't look for fun. You look to push the register. After when you close the business, you go on vacation, then you have fun. While you work in the business, the better the business is, the less fun you expect. Of course, a worker who is not expecting anything to get out, he only wants to get immediate fun. So we Jews, we are tachlosim, we live kehem chayenu v'oyre chameinu. So you're not looking for immediate fun. If you look for immediate fun, that means you don't believe there's a future. Now, what is Times Square telling to us? Wine and dine and entertain and pleasure and go and movies, kill time because there's no future. Unless you have, all that you have is presence, you must have fun. And that's modai. Yovan is already much more sophisticated. They know life has something much more in it, there's philosophy. In other words, Bovel does not believe Bechlad, there's an Aleph, there's no Aleph, there's nothing. He's destructive. That's Bovel, destroy. Modai sees the world as an Aleph, so what should you do? Pickle it and eat. You pickle Aleph, it's good, it's appetizing. So use Aleph to appetize. Tell him that Aleph is made for oil. He doesn't believe in it. He uses the olive as it is and he dresses them up in cosmetics and everything and uses it as an appetizer for the immediate pleasure. That's Times Square. He takes the olive and he consumes the olive as it is. Yovan believes already there's philosophy, there's greater, there's wisdom, there's spirituality, there's oil in the olive. And he also believes to give up the olive. He doesn't mind to be squashed. Many religious, Eastern religions, many philosophies, they don't mind to suffer, and they suffer just to produce and to have certain spiritual values. But what do we do with the oil after they produce the oil? For themselves. They eat them up. They only eat them up for themselves. They have the same ego-centered people as Bovel and Modai. They serve the same ego, which Madison Square Garden, the same ego as Times Square. Except Madison Square Garden feeds his ego by destroying somebody else. And Modai, Times Square, feeds the ego by enjoying the immediate olive. And he wants to enjoy himself spiritually. He's a saint, he's high, he's a philosopher, whatever it is. And that's what Chazal tells us. Chesed le'unim chatos, the chesed of the goyim is a sin for us. Because kol man da'ov le'gamah, by them only me is, they're almost self-centered. Even the spiritual values is all have to come back to themselves. We see America is supposed to be, it's absolutely, it's a mdinas a chesed, they do a lot of chesed, obviously, no question about it. But you see about the chesed it is, that there's millions of people dying every year of starvation in Africa, in the Far East, and still America is still throwing away agriculture and grain into the ocean just to protect the consumer's price. And they have absolutely no guilt conscience. What's happening? Here they're throwing away food to keep the price up, and you could have feed these hungry people over there, and they wouldn't do it. And the Medina Sacheset, which had President Roosevelt turned back ships of Jewish refugees in the time of the Holocaust, and they drowned in the ocean. Where is the big chesed? And this is, all the chesed is because that's the flag of America. It's as long as it serves the interests of America. Stop serving the interests of America, there's no chesed. There's chesed and machatas. Means this is Yovan. They have shaman, they have philosophy, their values over and above the exterior olive. But timu, they contaminated and timu kalashman for themselves. They consume the oil for themselves. What do we do? What the Torah asks us to do? You are Ner Hashem. Do you realize who you are? You belong. You Hashem sent you down as His candle. As His candle, first you have to produce the oil, and then you have to light the oil. And the lightening the oil is consuming the oil in a very selfless way. Because when you light, when you bring light, Ner Le'echo Ner Le'meyo. In this room, if there would be 1,000 people in this room, you will have the same light. As many people come in, the food on the table will be less and less and less. You may not like it. Somebody takes your food. But light, nobody could take away, because light is endless. Candle, when it gives light, and this is showing the chesed vizay, the Torah, that we have to be totally selfless. And I think we mentioned it in the past, we mentioned it again, because it's the new Yom. The Zohar explains, what does it mean a man is a candle? So just like a candle is put together from three components. There's a wick, the ptila, the wick. There is a flame, which is on top of the wick. And then there is oil, which nourishes and feeds the candle in order it should burn. So he says, our body, our physical material being is the wick. Our neshama, our soul, our seichel is the flame. Neir mitzvah Torah. And both of these have been given by Kodesh Baruch Hu. Nobody claims, I made my body and I made my soul. We got neshama loch v'guf shaloch. The neshama belongs to Hashem and the guf belongs to Hashem. And we only leased it. We only rented it for 70, 80, 90 years to use it. And after that it disappeared. It goes back. The body we give back to the earth because it was taken from the earth. And the neshama, as the neshama melech, so goes back to heaven, goes back up. What are we doing? What are we producing? What are we participating as a partner? We give the oil. We produce the oil. The shemen al roishcho al yechzar. The oil to your head should never miss. You should always produce oil. So the other question says, how do you produce the oil? By mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim. When we live with mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim, that's the way we produce the oil. And why is mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim producing oil? Because mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim is not easy. Mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim, you have to go against yourself. Mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim means that you have to accept your life the way Hashem dictates it, not the way you want it. You have to accept them. And by doing that, obviously you go against yourself. And every time when you go against, you quench yourself, you're producing oil. And if the Torah Chazal tell us, on the Pasuk, Zois Chukas HaTorah Odom Ki Yom Yisba Oyel, this is the stage of time when a person will die in his tent. Says the Gemara, and Divrei Torah Niknem, you don't acquire Torah, you don't produce what you have to eat, Im Kemeimis Atzmanem, if you kill yourself for that. Why an attempt? You have to look at the whole life. It's nothing more than temporary. It's nothing more than an attempt. Your housing, your family, everything is nothing more temporary, like a tent you put up there for a temporary quarters. And you kill yourself in the tent. And this is actually when Hashem brings in our way hardships, what is there left for us to do to know it's coming from Hashem? That means Hashem produces oil, and we have to bring this oil and apply it to our life, the simcha, and to give out light. And it is said, this light eventually goes into the world, that lights up the world. And everyone produces his oil in his own way. Because only Hashem knows how much of us, everyone has this oil. And the oil which was never contaminated by Yovan, this is what we say daily, the kind of Shomo Shanasato, Bito Hoy, Neshomo, if you see Neshomo in Shemen Hay. In this hay, in this physical wig, there is Shemen, and there is Neshomo Tohoiro. Tohoiro is pure. No Yovan ever touched it, no Yovan ever affected it. And if it's a Kozman Shanashomo Bekir, as long as it's Shomo Moida, I'm thanking you, I'm reproducing it, and I'm giving it back to you, Hashem, in which way? That I'm letting it consume in a theoretic way, the Simcha, in Simcha is light. Simcha is light, that's what comes out. Now, if everything would be nice and good, as we expect life should be, you could never produce Simcha out of bitterness, and Simcha out of oil, it would never be there. In other words, Hashem has to quench, and we have to accept this squashing as Hashem gives it, and we have to know there's a benefit in it. If there wouldn't be a benefit, Hashem wouldn't scratch. You don't scratch a dry lemon. And if Hashem scratches this olive, and the melasa, the more olive there is, the more oil there is. And obviously there's also different quality of light. And obviously the light which you have to light up in a Bisamedrash, or the light which you have to light up in a Bisamigdash, is a different light that you have to light on the streets. And a different light is a different light. We have light in Yerushalayim, it's in the seat of Times Square. So obviously, the more purer our light is, that means the more we accept Hashem's givenness of life to us in a purer way, that we live it b'tochum, b'simcha, b'tavrova, because Hashem knows what He is doing. I is to tvei, I is kvetch. Adrabah, the kvetch is oil that produces oil. So the oil is being produced through the hurt of life. And the light which we apply, the light which comes out of the oil, we don't let it contaminate. It shouldn't be dark oil. It shouldn't be choshech, it shouldn't be Yovan's oil. It's by accepting the oil and living a life full of productivity, knowing since I'm living Hashem's plan, Hashem's design, this is my productivity and not my human emotion dictates. But why do I have a human emotion? Answer is because that makes the bitter of the olive. That produces the oil. If there wouldn't be a bitter olive, there would be no oil. Apple do not produce oil. Only the bitter olive. So it complements. Yes, there's difficulties in life, and we acknowledge our difficulties, we acknowledge our pain, but in the bottom line, we have to know it comes from Hashem, and there's no pain which doesn't produce oil. And what do I do with it? How do I apply this oil to day-to-day life? How do I live the simcha v'tavlevav, that amount of light I'm giving back into this world? There's a very beautiful medrash, and I've said it maybe this last 2 weeks, maybe 20 times, and I'm going to say it now again. That when Yaakov Avinu went to build the nation Israel, when he left Yitzchak's house and go down to Choran, and he went to sleep, we know the story, and Yikach Ba'avdem, before he went to sleep, he took from the stones of the place, he wanted to protect his head, he shouldn't be hurt. So the Chazal Medrash tells, Yud Beis Avonim Lokach, he took 12 stones. Why 12? Says the Medrash. Shekach gozal alav HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decreed on him lehokim Yud Beit Shvot, that he has to produce 12 tribes. Omar, he said, why is gozal? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to decree? Wasn't Rav Hashem told him, ordered him, tzivo? When are you gozer? When you tell somebody to bring something and you know the person wants to do it, you just tell him, please bring me. But you know the person wants to bring it, but the person is afraid of. There's something in the way is afraid of, and you give a gozal, you decree, you must bring it. Yaakov Avinu wouldn't be enough. Hashem would just tell him, please put me up 12 tribes. Yaakov was very much afraid of putting up 12 tribes. That's soon we're going to explain. So Kurbach had to be Goizer. So Yaakov said, Avram lo hikimam. Avram Avinu didn't put up 12 tribes. Yitzchak lo hikimam. Yitzchak didn't put up. I would succeed. Omar, he said, Im yisach avonim elo, if this 12 stone is going to become one, yodeh ani shani makim, I know that I accomplished my mission. If not, if the first stone not going to unite, I failed in my mission. We know what happened. Chazal tell us the whole night they were fighting the 12 stones. Everyone said, Misha the Tzadik put his head on. So they fought the whole night. What did the Kodesh Baruch Hu do? United them into one. Then he got up in the morning, says, the Yikach es ho'ever. He took that one stone. The stones got united. He got a message of Hashem. Your mission will be successful. The 12 tribes, 12 shvotim, will eventually unite. They're going to be Am Echad, one nation. Says the Torah, Yotzak, Shemen, Al Roisha. Yaakov in poured the oil on that stone. What kind of oil? Where did he get the oil? And we know Yaakov became totally taken everything away. Everything was taken away from Yaakov. Where did he get the oil? So there's a Medrash. When he dreamed, the Malachim go up and down, he dreamed that the Malach brings down from heaven a can of oil. So it's a nice dream, but in reality, but when he got up in the morning, he saw the can of oil there next to him. So he saw here two miracles. He saw two miracles happen tonight. He prepared 12 stones and they became one. And the next to it is a can of oil which came down from heaven. Now what does it mean? So before we go further, why was Yaakov afraid to bring up the 12 tribes? Because what's supposed to be 12 tribes? Every Shevet, you know what they did? They fought. You see these parshas, Yaakov and Yosef and Yehuda and Reuven and Levi with Shimon. It's a bunch of fighters. Typical Jews, they could never agree. They could never agree. I remember one of my tips in Moscow, not now, 8, 9, 10 years ago, there was still a handful of Balchuvah because there was only three groups fighting each other. They were fighting each other more like typical Machloikas. Before they had a minyan ready, the shul got divided into two minyanim. They didn't have still 20 people, but they divided it. They said, this is typical good Jews. Why? The Maral said, because that's actually supposed to be every Jew delivers a special mission, a special message. And I'm not duplicating, you're not duplicating. So we're opposing each other. So therefore, I always say, two animals is one. Right? Two donkeys, they represent one. Right? Two animals are one. Two people are two. Two Jews are three. Two Jews can never, because if you say, there's a joke to say, Na'aseh v'nishma omri ke'echad. You think, in Sinai, nothing to set it together, ke'echad, to set it once. What's the big thing? What's so the next was, if God forbid, if he wouldn't say it together, and Reuben would have said, Shimon says, Na'aseh v'nishma, he would have to say, Nishma v'Na'aseh. I can't say what you say. So everyone said it the same thing, so they were capable, they were afforded to say, Na'aseh omri ke'echad. This was a Nesser himself. Jews cannot agree. Why? Not because they are fighters. Because the Maral says, because they shouldn't agree. Every individual has a special message, a special job. So therefore, everyone has different situations. So when Avram was one, Yitzchak was one. But Hashem gave to Yaakov, you have to make up Yisrael. Yisrael is a nation. And a nation has to represent the whole world. Therefore, they must have all 12 angles. So there's 12 alachsayim, 12 surufim. 12 is representing all dimensions of physics. That's fair. There's six dimensions in every material. There's six dimensions. Then there is the angle, the other angle, the other alachsoin makes 6 + 6 = 12. So Hashem says, I want you to put up a nation where the Jewish people, represent everything. They are involved in everything. And every represents the other angle of this physical world. So Yaakov said, the more I'm going to succeed to bring up these 12 tribes, the less possible they should unite. And if they're not uniting, there wouldn't be a one nation. And we know, we see who is fighting today. Only those real advanced Jews. A big Hasidish Chanyok and a big Litvish Ben Torah, they're fighting tooth and nails. But the Kalik Achos and the Kalik Litvak, they go to the same movie, they don't fight, they get along together, they go to the same pizza shop, they hang out in the same, on 13 every day, friends. In the Semedesh, they fight like anything. So more he succeeds in representing his position, the more they fight. See, Yaakov was afraid, the more I'm going to succeed to put up the 12 tribes, which everyone has to represent his presence, his message, the less possible will it be for them to unite. So therefore he was inspired, if the stones will really unite eventually, then I know that I'm uniting them. What did he saw? He saw they were really fighting, as we all fight the whole night, when there's still darkness. Mashiach is not here, we still fight. But what are we fighting? We fight for the same goal. Whenever there's two Jews, there's three opinions. The two Jews don't, two Goyim, they fight, the two opinions, they keep fighting, they never unite. When there's two Jews, I have my opinion, you have your opinion, we fight and fight and fight. And eventually say, okay, let's ask the third opinion. What is Hashem saying? And then we find the third opinion, and the third opinion only comes up because we have produced our my and you. We have to dig it with each other. First we make milchamas, first we fight in Besamelech, we fight all along. But then once we get the Kodesh Baruch Hu, we produce oil. Comes the third opinion. And when Yaakov saw that eventually the 12 stones became one, what was the production of 12 stones becoming one? The can of oil. Because to become one, to make unify, husband and wife should unify. A man should become a harvester so with the other one. It takes a lot of tolerance and a lot of sacrifice, a lot of kvetching. And there is the production of oil. Toyle Eretz al Belim, says Gemara, the world hangs on nothing. What is the says Gemara? Misha Boilem is Pib Beshas, is one who shut up at the time in this fight. When you have a good husband, to have a good fight with your husband, worldly fight, not physical fight, I'm talking, we're not in medicine playground. When you have a good worldly discussion with your husband, and you happen to have the right words, what to say to him, that you could really knock him out with your statement, and you just keep quiet, says the Gemara, on this merit, that you could keep your mouth shut, the world hangs. You're producing so much light, so much oil, that in this course, Toyle Eretz al Belima, Misha Boilem Espiv, Beshas Mariva, the world hangs, the world is holding on to. It means, as much difficulty we have in life, the biggest production of oil which we produce when we tolerate each other, we get along with each other. And usually when there's reasons not to get along, and there's valid reasons not to get along, and then to tolerate each other, it's even more oil. If there's no good reason just to fight for stupidity, you shouldn't fight to begin with. But when there's total different clash of personalities, And Hashem interferes also. Hashem makes sure to make problems too. It always brings in new problems, new situation between husband and wife, between neighbors, between working, and between Yishver and Shviger. There's always things are coming in. And when we keep our mouth shut, we really think that produces oil. When Yaakov saw the one stone from 12 becoming one, you know how much sacrifice did it cost for this 12 Shvatim? That they produced the entire can oil, the entire oil of the olive, the entire world which has to produce the extract of shemen, of chokhmah, was all produced in that can of oil. And that was given as a message to Yaakov, from heaven produced, Yaakov, you're going to succeed to make one nation at great sacrifice. Jewish people are going to go through Holocaust, they're going to go through suffering, they're going to go through tragedies, and there isn't a suffering in the book which the Jewish people don't suffer. There isn't. I don't think there's any other nation who suffers such a diversified suffering in all areas as we. You go into a house of the most rarest diseases, which is in the world, the Jews have the highest percentage of it. It's interesting. If Rumiyid Nochmer, somehow the percentage of religious even Nochmer, because obviously that produces the oil. So Hashem showed to Yaakov, you're going to succeed in your mission. Now what is the oil? You know, Mashiach is going to be ointed with the oil. This is the oil which Mashiach is being ointed. Now, it's been brought out in this forum that the Yaakovina understood. Here is the stone. 12 tribes are coming. One, that's the unity of Am Yisrael, the Achdus, Am Yisrael. They deserve to be ointed with this oil. That's Mashiach. So when he ointed a stone, the can remained full, didn't empty out. The Maral explains, because anything which is spiritual never empties. It's endless. So the can remained full. So he put it away. And when he fought the whole night, as we mentioned before, he was fighting for this oil. The Yovan came, fought the whole night. He went to Pachim Ketan. He went to rescue, to save, to recover this can of oil. For that he was fighting the whole night. He couldn't touch it, and that remained. Later when he came back from Esav, and he made a Mizbeach, and the third time again, he poured oil on the Mizbeach. So it's the same can of oil, and it's being brought as well, and he poured it out, and it remained again full. And then he put it away again, and that was found 1200 years later by the Chashmonoim, the Pachkot v'chasom v'shakot. This was the original can which was used Chanukah. Therefore, the first night already was a miracle. This is Chasom Sofer says that the Saturday Achon Neis Leis Neisus. It was a nest in a nest. The whole oil was still there. First of all, this was olive oil which was given to Yaakov in dream by the Malachim, brought out from heaven. It was already used two times. Yaakov fought for it the whole night, and now it was used for the next 8 days, and then it still remained full. And then it was hidden away again. And where is it hidden away? By all of us. All Jewish people together is deposited in every one of us, a few drops of this oil, and every one of us has to produce it, and we have to recollect that can oil, and Mashiach will come, he's going to be ointed with this original can, which is now deposited in us, which we are producing. And as we said before, we can't produce the oil unless we go through some suffering. So can anyone still complain about suffering? But you would say, fine, give me some other cell, let me describe my suffering. Well, if you would know exactly where the oil is, you could describe. But only Hashem knows where the oil is, what quality oil it is. So only Hashem knows exactly how much and where and what. No other authority could do that.
מגוון שיעורי כל הלשון נמסרים על ידי מגידי שיעורים ורבנים המשקיעים מזמנם וכוחם ללמד לרבים. אם ברצונכם וביכולתכם לסייע ולתמוך במגידי השיעורים ובמוסדות התורה שבאחריותם, תוכלו ליצור קשר ישיר עם הרבנים. לקבלת פרטי מגידי השיעורים ניתן לפנות למשרדי כל הלשון בטלפון 02-581-6622 או בכתובת דואר אלקטרוני lstrudel@kol.com.